Let's pray. Father, we appreciate you for another moment to be in your house, to dine at the table of your word. We ask that you speak to our hearts this evening. We ask for the utterance of your word that is able to give life and understanding to the simple. Bless your word richly in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Meet us at the points of our needs. Let your word come with power to save, to deliver, to set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Lord, do your bidding in our midst. At the end, tell the glory. And may the blessing be our portion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you are able. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are still on our book study, the book of James. And we're looking at one of the topics today again, living out the word. Shall we rise up as we take our key text together, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 27. But be doers. Okay, let's rise up. Open your Bible. If you cannot read from this, you look at the screen. One to go. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. We pray that God will bless the reading of his word in our heart in Jesus' name. Shall we be seated? We see what Apostle James wrote to the brethren in this latter part of chapter 1 of the book of James that we have been looking at. In this last few verses to end the first chapter, we will consider living out the word. So what we say and do must go together. And that is actually what living out the word of God entails. In other words, what we claim to be and believe in should be practiced by all to see. Living out the word is very important. When we say one thing but act differently, we deceive ourselves because people can see our hypocrisy. James knows how people deceive themselves. James possibly was aware of those who wanted to turn the church into another Pharisaic group, that is, the Pharisees. One thing notable about the Pharisees are that they are not sincere people. There are very many of them are hypocrites. There are the ones that want people to carry a heavy load and they will not put their finger to it. And so, this same attitude was imported into the early church. And the Apostle James had to write to them just to correct this anomaly among them. James knows how people deceive themselves. James possibly was aware of those who wanted to turn the church into another Pharisee group, people who like to debate and discuss about the word rather than obeying its precepts. Paralysis of belief, 6:10. Now, they are interested in what did the world say? Oh yeah, let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. They blow all the grammar, and at the end of it, they go back to their houses, living their lives the way they wanted it lived, and not according to the word of God. And this is not what God accepts among his people. In the olden days, in some of the temples where Gentiles used for the worship of their gods, there are some things that they do. It is part and parcel of their worship. For instance, there are temples in Greek where they have what they call temple prostitutes, male and female, and it is part and parcel of the worship of their gods. But these are what the scripture kicked against. And so, for anyone to come out of that background, or who grows up in such an environment, who had confessed Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and still want to live the way the Gentile live, it's unacceptable. And to some of them, they were living this hypocrisy life that James had to write to correct them. Paul argues in Romans chapter 2 on this very issue of living out the word when he used the Jews who pride themselves on having the word of God but act differently. You know, the Jews, they are so proud of their heritage. They will tell you, we are the seed of Abraham. And they will not live the way Abraham lived, obeying the word of God. The obedience of Abraham to God's word was counted unto him as righteousness. But this same group of people who prided themselves as seeds of Abraham, as children of Abraham, and yet do not want to live in obedience to that same Yahweh that Abraham lived to serve all his days. And so, Apostle Paul also had to write to the Christian in the Roman Empire in his days. Romans chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. Let's go there. We'll come back to a main text again. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 21. Say, you therefore, which teach another, do you not teach yourself? One of the things that the Jews are fond of doing is they make fun of Gentile world. They claim they are the one who have the living God, who have the word of God, and yet they don't live by the word. They apply themselves, they don't apply themselves to the law. At least they should have. You who preach a man should not steal. Do you steal? And of course, most of them are guilty of stealing. You who say a man should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? A Bible scholar said most of them did. You who abhor idols, do you commit sacrileges? In a sense, the Holy Spirit through Paul is placing Israel in the same state as the Gentile world. You who make your boast of the law, through breaking the law, you dishonor God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. For circumcision verily profits if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if your circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his circumcision be counted for circumcision? That was the question that Apostle Paul had to ask the people of his days, who claim we are the seed of Abraham. We are the circumcised children of Abraham. The Gentiles, they see them as evil people, as sinners, the uncircumcised folks. That even in their circumcision, so Paul asks them here, say, even the uncircumcised, if they live obeying the word of God, if they live right, if they live righteous life, will their uncircumcision not be counted to them as circumcision? In other words, their circumcision is made meaningless without living according to the word of God. And James, back to our text, James emphasized the need for people to live according to the word of God. That was why he told them, from that verse 22nd that we read from, say, but be ye doers of the word. The word has the potential to do great and mighty things within our lives. While hearing the word is definitely necessary, at the same time, it must be heard properly, and that refers to a heart that wants to receive. Because if we do not do that, James says, deceiving your own selves. It is bad to be deceived by another person, and it becomes much more terrible if one indulges in deceiving himself. So James had to tell them, say you have to ensure you be doers of the word, for he behold himself and goes his way. He use the analogy of the looking glass, the mirror. Now, in those days, when this letter was written, the mirror they used then were not like the modern day mirror. I discovered that, or through research, that the mirror they used then were from highly polished metals. So it's not like the glass that we use as mirror today. Sometimes when you get close to a metal, you see your reflection in it. That was exactly the kind of mirror they were using there. So it's not as good or as improved. Maybe the one we use today is an hybrid, or through technology we have a better mirror compared to what was used then. And so one of the things that people had to do was to get very close so that you can get your reflection, so that you can see yourself. So yeah, James explained that it will just be like a man who wants to behold himself in the mirror, just looked at and walk away, and in those distant time forgets the kind of person he is. And of course, mirror will not give you, those of us in art or whatever, will not give you the three dimension or whatever. It's just a flat way. You cannot have the three dimension from the mirror. If you face the mirror, you cannot see your side in it. It's just the perfect face view that you give to it. And so the person will walk away. The mirror will only give you a reflection of the side. If I face the mirror and there is a stain on my head at the back, the mirror I'm facing will not tell me that there is a stain or there is a dust behind me, except I give that view to the mirror. Hence, James had to tell them, say, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He sees only that which is external. He sees only that which is external. The mirror, if you stand in front of it, will only show you the stain on your face. But what is in your heart that is, do I say dirtier? Quote and unquote, if there is any word like that. The mirror that you are standing in front of will not show you that. So he beheld his face, his natural face in a glass, and walk away. So for he beheld himself and goes his way, which is not God's way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. We're told that an evaluation of ourselves is necessary. However, it is God alone who knows the heart, which the word of God alone, or which the word of God properly presented, reveals. It is the word of God that we can actually use to have a perfect evaluation of ourselves. But the man who will hear the one and walk away, hence he likened him to a man who behold his natural face on the mirror. Then in the other verse, the breath also looks into the perfect law. See the contraction here. But also looks into the perfect law of liberty, defines the whole body of revealed truth concerning the word of God, and continues therein. There must be a continuous abiding in the word. He be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. This same woman will be blessed in her deed. Obeying the word of God brings great blessings. And that is what James tries to emphasize to his audience here. Obeying the word of God brings great blessings across anyone who so lived. However, the only way it can be obeyed is for the believer to place his faith in Christ and the cross. If any man among you seem to be religious, maybe you will have translated that word, if any man among you seems to be spiritual and bridles not his tongue, again, only the Holy Spirit within our lives can do this, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James declared here that one who claimed to be religious, if you don't mind, who claimed to be spiritual and yet cannot bridle his own tongue, that person's religion, or if we may bring in another word, that person's profession is vain. What he professes in Christ is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. That is referring to that which will please God. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Proper faith will always produce proper works, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is what is acceptable. And so James had to tell his audience all of this to emphasize the need to live out the word of God daily. So James emphasized the fact that when we fail to act at or apply the word to our daily life, we soon forget what we have heard. Using a student's life as an example, when subjects are not studied at home, or what is learned not reviewed, he or she will soon forget what was learned. If we want to, like a student, you resume lectures, you just jump in, do jojo, and you jump out. You don't bother to pay re-attention to what was being taught, and at the end of the day, you don't also go back to pick the materials up and go through. There is every possibility that such can stick. And at the end of the day, that student because he had not paid proper attention to what was taught or what was learned, did not give another moment to review what was done, he or she will soon forget what was learned, and that is true. The same applies to hearing the word without practicing what it says. This is what James says about the mirror analogy. Women are fond of looking at themselves in the mirror. So our outline says, when no sooner than they are out, you see them touching their hair and looking for another mirror again to check the way they look. Praise the Lord. Is that true? I leave that for our mothers to answer. Amen. Reward for doing God's word. We'll look at that as a subheading. Reward for doing God's word. We have seen the importance of living out the word, or the emphasis of James in these last verses of this chapter was on the need to live out the word. That is, practicing the word, be a practicing Christian. Not saying or like we say, do as I say and not what as I do. It's a statement among the hypocrites. Apostle Paul was able to tell his people, be ye followers of me, even as I follow Christ. But it is most unfortunate today that we have so many leaders, whether in Christian faith or in the secular world or in the academic world, who profess one thing and live out another thing completely. But what God's word emphasizes is the need for us to be doers of what the word of God says, that we profess, that we believe. So look at the reward for doing God's word. There is a reward for those who do what the word teaches, as verse 25 emphasizes. The Lord said the same thing when he taught us to let the word we hear become a way of life for us, as quoted above from Matthew chapter 7. First of all, there will be freedom from making sin a habit, and freedom from slavery to doing worldly or satanic things. That is one of the rewards told here, that as we live according to the word of God, it will help us, or it will give us freedom from making sin a habit, and freedom from slavery to doing worldly or satanic things. There are persons who perpetually have their lives lived in direct contradiction to the word of God, and yet they profess to be believers in Christ Jesus. And that makes it terrible. Remember, many years ago, when we were still growing up in the faith, we had a minister who was so strict on us. I remember it was a year I had to, one of our Christian sister then, she was to write exam, biology to be precise. I got the specimen, prepared everything she needed to know about the specimen. And because of the way we were handled, had to just, in fact, after close of cervix, if you dare stand with a sister, it's like you have committed crime. It was as terrible as that. I just prepared everything, put every detail writing, and gave to her to go and read. What baffles me at the end of the day was, later on, this same man who was so sweet on us, you must not stand with a sister. You must not do this. You must not do that. not knowing that this same sister in question was her secret lover. And it beats one's imagination. It's as terrible as that. And this is somebody who is a minister who professes the word of God, and he lives in direct contradiction to what he preaches or he teaches. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the whole thing came out, then I was already away. I had, for the first time, me before, when I fast, I don't play with my evening meal. I can fast for as many days as possible. But when it is evening, I must break and eat. Praise the Lord. But for the first time, when I heard that, see, what has happened to so, pastor, my heart was broken. In fact, for 3 days, I didn't eat. I was just interceding for him, praying, say, God, deliver this man. It was on the third day, I remember, I have not eaten. I can fast for 7 days, but morning till night, if it is even 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., I'll break and sleep. Follow it there, continue. But for the first time, and that was when that yoke was actually broken, that I cannot take straight fasting days, day and night. I was praying, so God, deliver him. It's as bad. So, it is not a member thing. I'm talking about human beings. And possibility was what James was trying to correct among the people of these days, that there is need for us to live out this word. It's not just by issue of title. Sometimes when you flip through the pages of our dailies, you hear terrible stories, even about men of God. Anyway, some called God, God called some, and some called themselves. And they all call all of them pastors. And that is the funny part of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But in all of this, God knows his own. Amen. Amen. So, we were told here that by living out the word of God, it helps us, or it frees us from making sin a habit. And that is why when John was writing, it tells them, say paravation, you fall into sin. We have an. It is not the lifestyle of a Christian to live perpetually in sin. But for any reason, say if you fall into it, we have an advocate. And so, by making sure we get the word of God into our lives daily, study it daily, meditate on it day and night, as Joshua suggested, or God told Joshua, by so doing, we are freed from sinful habits and freedom from slavery to doing worldly or satanic things. This is what the Lord emphasized in John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36. The psalmist says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precept. Psalm 119, verse 45. This is freedom to do God's will in an atmosphere of all kinds of temptation. Liberation that God's word brings to someone who practices it goes beyond what money, fame, influence, or worldly power or position can give. Of course, from the teaching of our Lord, the Christian who live out God's word has a solid foundation in life. No circumstances of life can destabilize the faith of the doer of God's word. If you are a follower of God, an ardent disciple of Christ, one of the proofs is that you live in complete obedience to the word of God. And in the things of the law, partial obedience is equivalent to total disobedience. There is no 9 over 10 in 8. God expects us to have the 10 over 10. And we press on towards the mark. We press on towards perfection on a daily basis. So that is how to live according to the word of God must be something we cherish day in and day out. And it must also have to do with the importance we attach to the word of God. This somewhere in the book of Job, Job said that he attached importance to the word of God more than his necessary meal. I can't remember that verse of scripture now, but somewhere in Job. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9 likens the word of God to fire that can cleanse or purify. The word of God is a powerful cleansing agent. As Psalm 119 verse 9 teaches, Paul also points that out in Romans chapter 2 verse 10. Let's see Psalm 119 verse 9 quickly. ICT, can you help us with that? Psalm 119 verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young boy cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the declaration of the psalmist. Bible scholars attribute Psalm 119 to Ezra. So most time we take it to be one of the Psalms of David. The most scholars attribute it to Ezra. Whoever wrote it is not the issue now. What we are concerned is, he first asked, how can a young man cleanse his way? And he also gave us the answer there. By hearkening unto the word of the Lord. Because he said, say your word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against thee. So one of the things we must do every day of our life is to have a place for the word of God. Many of us, we don't have time to study the word of God. It is something that you need. So many things are happening, and if you don't know the word of God yourself, you stand to be deceived. There is something I saw online sometime. Say those who do not study the word of God will pay dearly for their ignorance by buying a bottle of olive oil for 100,000. So people are paying for their ignorance. You must study the word of God. Know what the word of God says. The Berean Christians were told that having received from the apostles, they will go back and check, study the word again on their own to see if what the apostles had told them were actually so. But we live in a time where we are so busy that we have little or no time for the word of God. On a daily basis, have time for the word of God. There are many of us who will pray. We'll have time to pray, but we'll not have time for the word. Those days when we were in school, it's a question that we always ask ourselves. Did you have your morning devotion today? Say yes. Did you take time to say that? If you ask 10 persons, you can be sure 8 out of the 10 prayed. And maybe 1 out of that 8 actually had time to read or to study the word of God. And that may not be different today also. Have time for God's word. Except you have turned God to Father Christmas, that you only talk to him about your needs and you want them come sharp, sharp, and you don't have time to hear from him in return. Studying God's word is a part of hearing from God, and that makes your prayer balance. It's a two-way traffic, not one-way traffic. May God help us in Jesus' name. Paul also points out this in Romans chapter 2, verse 10. Say, but glorify, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First, for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. There is need for us to do good. There is need for us to live according to the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 14. Test us. Say, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Reading carefully, one can count at least about 17 distinct blessings for doing what the Lord God says in his word. Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 14. If you obey, if you hearken diligently, say, these blessings will follow you. You shall be blessing in your going out, in your coming in, your basket will be this. You will not cast out your young ones and all of that. Very many of them, in fact, were told here that you can actually highlight like 17 of them just from that verse 1 to verse 14. But thereafter, it was put on a reverse. But if you do not obey the word of God, from verse 15 down, started counting the curses that will come over the people by not obeying the word of God. They will obey and be recipient of the blessings in Jesus' name. How to live out the word? How do we live out the word of God? How do we put into practice the word of God? Number one, by putting God's word into action. The preceding chapter contains some steps to act out God's word in relation to emotional outburst of anger. If you read chapter 2, it aligns some of the things that we need to do. So, by putting out God's word into action, it makes the word to come alive in you. So, it doesn't just end in your message notes that you just write on and keep, only to look for where it is the next Sunday or the next Bible study I bring to church. How many times have you taken time to pick your message note back at home and go through what you have written? I'm sure we seldom do that. So, by reminding ourselves of the word and you put it into practice. Number two, by keeping our lives from moral pollution. It's another way. Moral filth and pollution are attitude, lifestyles, and evil relationships that run counter to standard of God lays down for his people. Evil companies, filthy language, obscenity such as pornographic materials, videos, and television, and all kinds of immorality in society are moral pollution that must be avoided. Many years ago, there are bodies that censor whatever they need to air. But today, I don't know whether those bodies are still in existence. Sometimes many of the things we see on our videos, on our screen these days are terrible. I remember a few years back, maybe over 10 years now or so, I was in my cousin's place. They were showing one film. And they said, not for children. And there is the way they put it. Is it whether parental guidance or whatever? I looked at it. I frowned. Now you are showing this video almost like what we call blue film on a daytime and on a Saturday morning where children are at home. Not even when it is, let's say, 11 p.m. where all things being equal, at least children should have gone to bed. And I asked myself that day, what is wrong with these human beings in the studio there? Why should you show a thing like this on a Saturday morning that children are at home? Now, that is by the wayside. We have all of these. In fact, our video said today, there are times, even in our school, we have had cases where JSS1, I think it's Yukulu one time, a child in JSS1 was caught with a phone in the class watching blue film. It was his, and he said it was the father that gave it to him. So your father stole this one in his phone and gave to you to go and watch. So we need to see your father. And when your father is coming, let your mother follow him. so that we trash the matter in their presence. And if we continually give ourselves, or even as young people, if what we feed our heart with are dirty materials, then you are already a loaded gunpowder, waiting for a moment of explosion. Because these things, they do defy. They are moral pollution that must be avoided. And so, maybe we may need to ask, what do we, as young people, what do we store in our phone? If we seize the phone of all the young people in the house now, and say, let's assess their videos, you can be shocked what you would see. If you have 100 songs, and two are good Christian songs, to God be the glory. And if those are the kind of songs you listen to on a daily basis, then you are polluting your heart. See, when the word is practiced, one becomes a crusader against moral feed or pollution in the society and cause off any relationship that does not honor God. Number three, quickly, by keeping our tongues in check. Verse 26 told us, let's go back to it. Say, if any man among you seem to be religious, or I said, if any man among you seems to be spiritual, and bridle not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's profession is in vain. Or this man's religion, as Kijun put it, is in vain. And so one of the things we need to do is by keeping our tongues in check. James chapter 3 verse 1 to 12 discusses the important subject of taming our tongues. Maybe that will be a subject for another day. Or go to James chapter 3 and read from chapter verse 1 to verse 12. James had a lot to say about the need to tame our tongue in that third chapter. Number 4. By showing compassionate love to others who are less privileged. And that is what James talked about in the 27th verse, which is the last verse of that chapter 1. Say, pure religion, or if we may say pure spirituality, and undefiled before God and the Father is this. That is that which pleases God, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is what pure spirituality entails. Having a compassionate heart, love for others, and see the need to help those in need around us. Somebody was remarked that I will only pass this way but once. Says so, every good I need to do, everything I need to do, I will need to do it now as I pass, for I may never have the opportunity again. We have just this one life to live. And so, we must ensure we live it well to the praise and glory of God, our Maker. James told his audience here of the need to identify with the plight of the less privileged, of showing them love. And in so doing, we are already continuing the work of Christ. We are already his ambassador. Are so doing, because when Jesus walked planet Earth humanly, he identified with those who are in pain, the less privileged, those whom society had written off. He identified with them and brought succor to them, brought God's love to them. He healed their wounds and brought them salvation, even from sicknesses and diseases. Above all, brought them spiritual healing. Number four, by showing, okay, that's number four we have treated, by showing compassionate love to others who are less privileged. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and verse 9, enjoy us. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. It is one thing to know how to express sympathy, but meeting the needs of those destitute people around us makes the word of God come alive through each believer. The chapters on authentic faith and the sins of formation discusses in detail what this point entails. When we look at authentic faith and the sins of formation, we have a detailed explanation on this issue there. But we're told, suffice it to have it, that one of the ways to live out the word of God is by showing compassion, showing love to those who are less privileged. Then number five, by avoiding superficial distinction of people. By avoiding superficial distinction of people. We also have a detail of that one in chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 13. You can just take note of that. Of course, it's in our, we have the outline at the end of the day. So we have it on the outline there. You can go through it at home. The Lord Jesus Christ gives personal grace and empowerment to be able to become doers of God's word. This is the word. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. I urge you to give your life to Him, and He will make new and give you the grace to live out the word on a daily basis. These are prayers in the name of Jesus, that we will not only be the hearers, but we will be the doers of the word of God. How much of God's word do you practice? Or you come to church with a filter in your hands, and when the word comes forth, say, ah, this one is for me. This one is for my brother, Brother Solomon. No, this one is for Brother Ochuko. This one is for the pastors only. This one is for workers. This one is for us, the floor members. This one is, you just categorize people anyhow. Only God knows the yardstick you use. God expects that every one should live and we should obey biblical injunctions, not just being a worker only or a minister only. So we will conclude here that it is very, very important for every child of God to see the need to study God's word and also to live by the same word of God. That is the emphasis of Apostle James in our study today, living out the word. So we may need to ask ourselves, do we pay attention to the word of God? Do we study it? Even the word we have heard, how much of it do we put into practice? We are the Bible that some people will read. Some will never open the Bible themselves. And sometimes, whatever you do, there are some people who may live in your neighborhood. And whatever you do, say, hey, they take it as correct. And if you are not reflecting what God's word says, then you stand to mislead people. Many years ago, one of our leaders in 9FS told us that a leader's error is a leading error. And he practically demonstrated it. And we saw that he was correct. Just say, touch your head. Touch your head. Touch your leg. Touch your leg. Just say, touch your shin. And he placed his hand somewhere. And everybody did the same thing. So I say, touch. Say, just look at me. Do whatever I do. Touch your head. Touch your leg. Touch your shin. And instead of touching my shin, I put my hand on my chest. And everybody does that. He made a mistake and we all followed. Praise the Lord. And so, that is why as leaders, we need to be careful that the leader's sin is a leading sin. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. So we draw to a close here. Contribution quickly. If there be any a question, thank God I have my mother and my father in the house who can bail me out. I'm unable to bail myself. Any question, any contribution?